Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger. Be gracious to me. Psalm 6, our penitential psalm for this evening, characterizes for us the life of the psalmist under the wrath of God. The anguish, the turmoil, the weariness, the shedding of tears, the feeling of defeat, all of this has permeated his very being. He is so torn within and so torn without, he's actually cried his eyes out. He has no place to turn. He feels the world closing in on him. He feels as though the very life is being pulled from him and that he is smothering. And where does he go? There really is only one place for him to turn, and that is to turn to the Lord. And what is he asking of the Lord? What is his prayer? What is his plea? His prayer is that the Lord be gracious, that he show his steadfast love for him. He wants more than just a continued existence. He wants a restoration to a life of continual praise. Praise to the Lord his God. He wants, as Psalm 51 expressed last week, a clean heart, a renewed spirit. He does not want to be cast away from the Lord. He does not want the Lord to take his Holy Spirit from him. He wants to be restored. He wants to see the Lord's salvation. The psalm we have before us is the psalm of one who is shaking in his boots. He's shaking in terror. He's in great distress. So he turns to God. It is a psalm of lament. And Martin Luther says that lament is an element of repentance. And in this psalm, the psalmist discloses his own desperate need for God's consolation, for his deliverance from turmoil, from distress, and from affliction. And in his distress, he turns to the one and only one who can help. Martin Luther goes on to write, in all trials and afflictions, man should first of all run to God. He should realize and accept the fact that everything is sent by God, whether it comes from the devil or from man. And this is what the psalmist does here. In this psalm, he mentions his trials, but first he hurries to God and accepts these trials from him, for this is the way to learn patience and the fear of God. But he who looks to man and does not accept these things from God becomes impatient and he despises God. So what do you and I do when we are bombarded by trials and afflictions? We know all too well what we might be tempted to do. To cry out, Lord, why me? What did I do to deserve this? We might even pat ourselves on the back and say, Lord, I'm faithful in my church attendance. Lord, I'm faithful with my tithing. Lord, I'm faithful in my prayer life. Lord, I'm faithful in directing others to you. Why me? What did I do? How can you be picking on me? I'm such a great servant of yours. We may not express those words, but they very well may creep into our minds. We may feel it in our hearts. So we reflect on what we have done, and we begin to speculate. Well, maybe I should have been a little more forceful in witnessing to that other person. Well, maybe I should have given just a little bit more in the offering plate. Maybe, just maybe, I should pray a little more often than I should. And in all that speculating, and in that attempt to try and comfort ourselves, we miss the point. The point is, perhaps we should repent. Rather than really putting our faith and trust in God who kills and makes alive, we have that natural tendency to speculate and to correct things all on our own. We ask ourselves that question, where did I go wrong? What did I do? And the problem with speculation is that it cannot penetrate the hiddenness of God, and it will yield no answers. So when we are bombarded, when we feel our world closing in on us, what choice do we have? We have but only one choice as the children of a gracious and heavenly Father, and that is to repent. To repent of that self-pitying cry, why me? God would have us set our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to focus on the mercy of God. We need to see the manger and how through that manger and in that manger God sent his only begotten Son in the flesh as an infant to be our Redeemer. We need to set our eyes on the cross, and we need to open our eyes to see how God has revealed his great love for each and every one of us through the sacrifice that his Son made on that cross. We need to stop trying to figure out that great hiddenness of God that's not for us to know. We know nothing of the unrevealed God, the hidden God. God blocks that path. He doesn't want us to go there. He draws a boundary line and says, don't you dare cross. Because what's beyond that line, you don't need to know. What you need to know is what I have revealed to you in my Son. What you need to know is that I have revealed to you the love of a Father by placing upon my own Son your sin, that he would die for that sin and suffer the penalty for that sin so that you don't have to. Psalm 6 reflects what Luther calls the theology of the cross. And by that we simply mean for the children of God, for you and I, suffering must come before glory. The Christian life is under contrary appearances, so that life is found in death. Victory is found in defeat. The lament that we find in Psalm 6 is not a simple cry of undirected despair. It is directed to God. And even in those times when God seems to be distant from us and unresponsive, that lament that is directed to God is always related to past and future praises. My mother had this very simple, if you will, suggestion for her children. She said, when your trials and your tribulations come, and when you want to throw your hands up in the air and give it all up, and when you feel that you don't even know how to pray, she said, there's one simple prayer that you can pray and He will always answer. And it's a prayer that comes when we feel defeated, when we feel overrun by the problems of this world, when we feel overrun by the problems within our own families. And that simple prayer is what the Lord is waiting to hear. Lord, help me. Psalm 6 is that prayer. Lord, help me. And lo and behold, what does the Lord do in Psalm 6? The enemies are taken care of. They are quieted. They are dispersed. They're dispelled. And the life of the psalmist is restored and renewed. Contrary appearances in our life that runs all throughout Scripture. In weakness, we are made strong. Our life is in death, the death of Christ. Our victory is our Lord's defeat, or seeming defeat in the eyes of Satan, when our Lord died. We learn to rely and to put our faith in Christ because that is where our strength comes from. We put our eyes, we focus upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because He is the author and perfecter of our faith. We're reminded of what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:10. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, it is then I am strong. May the Lord grant us His mercy and give us that triumphant faith by which we may obtain the victory in all our afflictions and obtain that victory through all our temptations. And God, in His love and in His mercy, will uphold us by His grace. That is His promise, and of that we can be sure. which surpasses all understanding, strengthen and keep you in Jesus Christ our Lord.